providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back. Top of the hour news is now done. So we're continuing on with our discussion a little bit about the demographics of the voters in America, because that really is an important topic. Since in the last segment, I devoted my thoughts to why I don't think Trump is the best individual to be the Republican nominee for president. Let's go on in that direction and let's say, what are the demographics right now of Trump's support? From what I would see, I would say is primarily massive blue collar. And that's good for Trump because massive blue collar is a very big number. And the negative feelings right now, I have noticed through my reading and, you know, television watching, et cetera, et cetera. I have noticed that the animosity on the part of most blue-collar Republicans is really, really meaningfully large. Could be wrong about that. Jimmy, let's talk about the demographics about the Republicans right now. Can they get together and support Trump, or do they have the inclination to get together and support Trump?
Well, okay, so you have to look at the Democratic Party pre-Trump, so before 2015.
I agree.
Yeah, you've got to look back then and look what's been happening since then. So the Republican Party pre-Trump was very much a elitist group that was focused, you know, it's country club Republicans, right? They, you know, membership only, exclusive ideologies, and it was always about taxes,
right?
And it was about free markets, and it was about basically neoconservative views of we can export democracy in order to have a global world. This is the entire Mitch McConnell view, or even Mitt Romney view, that, you know, an open free market for the world will be better for everybody. Let's cut our taxes and we'll help make the world a better place by free market and trade.
Well, I would say Trump's main appeal comes from the fact that he really believes, I mean, it sounds funny, but to me it's very, very serious. It sounds to me like he wants to put the country on the world stage as it was back in, let's say, the 40s or 50s.
Okay? Yeah, he does. And see, that's what I wanted to express here with the Republican Party view predominantly before Trump. And the established Republicans were very much against Trump. But once he won the nomination, they had no choice, right? Then it was, all right, we can't just... Some of them did try to undermine it, but we can't just undermine it. We've got to win the White House back, but we still want to control things from behind the scenes. And that's what you saw happen. You had globalist ideologues, Republicans, undermining the Trump administration. There's a great book by Peter Navarro, who was an advisor both on China and economics, and he was an economics professor. He talks about the inside of the Trump White House and the mistakes that were made with personnel hiring. So basically, you had a lot of those country club Republicans that still had an idea, a globalist idea, and really didn't support Trump and undermined him continually. Rex Tillerson at Secretary of State, probably Mattis as Secretary of Defense, certainly his National Security Advisor after they axed Michael Flynn. They were globalists in view, and they had that old school Republican ideology. And of course, that was in competition with people that were protecting the whole sanctity of D.C. And Trump was against what was happening in D.C. So the demographics, when you go back to the question, what are the demographics? Who supports Trump now? They're the people that are very frustrated with the old Republican Party. Those are Republicans. And Democrats that were frustrated with all of government and certainly lost their jobs because of globalization that was actually driven by Republicans in the past.
Okay.
And at that same time, you've got independents that are just fed up with everything.
Yeah.
So there's three groups that I see. It's Republicans, which are growing in numbers, that cannot stand the way the Republican Party used to be. There are still holdouts. There are still a small amount, but they're getting less powerful. You've got Democrats that are very frustrated, that are the blue-collar workers that you're talking about, the actual Democrats that lost jobs because of offshoring U.S. manufacturing, the ones that wanted to build aluminum and cars here in the U.S., they're frustrated. And then you've got the independents that can't stand anything that's going on. And those numbers are actually growing, especially as you see the tech companies and the big corporations control the entire economic landscape of the United States to the detriment of U.S. workers.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that I don't understand, is you look, for example, at Silicon Valley Bank that just failed here recently. That is an incredibly, incredibly dramatic event that really people ought to stop and think about. Bank failures, particularly of the magnitude of say, Citizens Valley Bank, that's not a common event. That's an event that tells you a little bit about where our society is headed, fiscally. Well, that should scare an awful lot of people. That should make people stop and think. And the thought pattern, I would think, should go probably in the direction of what's really causing this. Well, banks fail basically because people lose confidence in them. I am amazed that more people aren't losing confidence in the federal government right now, given what's going on in our society. The conversations that we have around here about our society really center around violence. A lady who I'm getting pretty close to is petrified to leave, for example, the confines of my little society here. She is really, really concerned about gun violence, about people getting killed on the streets in Seattle, etc., etc. If you combine that with what happened at Silicon Valley Bank, which was really, really an amazing event, you'd have to say that how the hell could the Democrats even think about winning the executive office again? I really wonder myself how that could happen. And what I'm saying about Trump is, if he had the kind of personality where he could position himself basically as the true savior of America as it used to be. I haven't seen him do that, Jim. All I've seen is a very defensive man.
Well, I disagree with you, because that's been his campaign from the beginning. Make America great again,
right,
and save America. So that has been the essence of everything he's run on. And the problem is he's fighting a very powerful institutional system,
right,
that is funded massively by major corporations, by globalist ideologies, and a lot of these companies and tech companies that are controlling information. That makes it almost impossible. So your perceptions of Donald Trump are basically what most people's are, and that's shaped by what the media presents. The media is presenting a false narrative in spite of his own weaknesses. And I've never thought that Trump is the greatest guy in the world. But what I do think is that he represents and has the courage to stand up against exactly what most people are frustrated with. And that's why I see the potential for significant change in 2024 if people can stay together and not undermine, because there's really no other options right now,
right,
that we can see in either direction.
I agree 100% on that, and I agree 100% also if the Democratic Party could position Trump in that area that you just described, I think he'd win the election hands down.